Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. And today we have a very special guest on the line, product development guru, Brandon Tendler. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Marlon and Danny.
What's up, Brandon?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVillo.
What's up, people?
And before we get into the podcast, first, the intro.
I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a pawn while they play. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same
day. And I just want to get you guys a little note. We are very proud to be a part of the brand new One Star Podcast Network, the one-stop shop for all restaurant podcasts, featuring The Sideward Podcast, Copper and Heat, In Your Mouth, The Macaroni Zone, and Confessions of a Server. Give them a listen and tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Now getting right into the podcast. Yeah, we're very excited about that. We're going to grow together. And friends Brooke and Andrea at Sidework Podcast put everything together. So we're going to be bringing you some fresh content from different areas in the restaurant business, whether it be the kitchen or front of the house. They're developing a front of the house versus back of the house. So it's going to be really, really cool content. And Brandon, when I first approached you about, I had in mind, was to pick your brain about ghost kitchens. And we'll get into that a little bit later. And when we spoke on the phone, I deciphered that you have an eye for detail. You've never worked in the restaurant business.
Yeah, so that's true. So I'm just somebody who has this, you know, kind of product development background, and I kind of apply it to everything that I see and touch and feel and experience. Right. So one thing, I have a major passion for food.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm definitely a huge fan of, you know, exploring and basically finding new restaurants. And I basically pick everything apart. That's just kind of it's kind of what I do. You know, I literally go, you know, just because of my passion for restaurants, I've kind of taken it into my own hands to learn how to cook myself. Okay. So I'm constantly, you know, anywhere I go, it's typically never good enough for me, you know.
Okay.
And now I've spent years trying to perfect my skill of cooking. And if I go out somewhere and, for example, it's a steakhouse, but then you get the steak and it's not really that good, it's a pet peeve of mine, because I'm like, hey, these guys opened up a steak restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They should be like perfecting their craft. They should be the best at what they do, you know? So I guess that's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Yeah. If you're a steak restaurant, the steak better be good.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Not the chicken sandwich, the steak.
So
Go ahead. No. Typically, if you put something on the menu, you better know how to make it well.
That's a huge statement. A huge statement and an understatement at the same time.
Exactly.
You would think that, yes, you should. But I think what happens over time is that maybe you can agree with me, like maybe what that chef came up with is a brilliant product, and maybe either over time he's not there, or the you know, things change over time, I feel like, with consistency as such. And that's how dishes go downhill.
That's definitely true. But right, so the proper procedures need to be in place to ensure like quality and consistency is executed. Absolutely. So that's also something that's super important. And you know, some people just don't kind of care about, or they drop the ball, you know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's springboard from that. I mean, we did a podcast, I think maybe it was over a year ago, called The Restaurant Dream. And it was basically warning of the pitfalls of opening a restaurant, because a lot of people think that they can do it, but there's so much involved in it that they, like you said, they drop the ball on maybe the execution or the consistency of it. What caution flags would you raise for people in your niche of product development?
Like in regards to like what somebody could set up in order to maintain quality and consistency?
Yeah, to be successful right out the gates. What's like the number one on the list of things to
do?
I mean, typically.
You know, when you're dealing with this kind of industry or anything related to any sort of business, you need to maintain great organization skills.
Okay.
You know, so you have to be extremely organized, attention to detail, maintain precise, you know, measurements. And if it's measurements in developing a product and tolerances in terms of the design, it kind of like lends itself the same to just restaurants. And you know, every aspect, you know, the restaurant is basically, you know, a product that you're developing, right?
True.
And every aspect of that restaurant has to like have extreme attention to detail. So it's the brand, it's the experience, it's the food. I mean, I guess that's, those are the main three things behind a restaurant, right? So everything needs to be organized precisely, you know, recorded, procedures have to be put into place and organized, right? So
that's I gotta tell you, several of those are generally missing from the daily operations of some of the places that you come across, really.
Totally. I see that.
100% correct.
Now, where would you say that some owners miss the mark when it comes to first impressions? I guess I'll backtrack and say, when you walk into a restaurant, what catches your eye first? What do you notice first? Or what are you looking for, even better?
I mean, typically it's the menu. It's the menu selection. It's, does this menu, you know, speak out to me in terms of like, you know, a nice mix of products, something that's easy to digest, you know, not too many choices, right? And then, you know, the vibe of the restaurant, you know, what's the scene like? And typically, you know, if a restaurateur put, you know, their attention to detail into the design and experience of when you're walking into a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
you kind of hope that the food aligns with that,
with that vision.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's something that's really important to me. You know, there's a lot of like great designers out there, and they could design the hell out of a restaurant. But then when it comes to their food kind of falls short. And, you know, a lot of people, I guess they kind of try to like fit into that like trendy food, like, you know, like tunnel, you know, where they're trying to like stick to that like trendy food, but a lot of times they just don't execute really well, you know, or they overdo it. You know, sometimes, you know, simple is better. Like my biggest motto in life is keep it simple, smart, or keep it simple, stupid, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't have to overdo things in order to execute it well. And sometimes less is more.
Absolutely. If you, it's better, in my opinion, I think it's also better to have one, you know, in a restaurant, let's say you have five things that you just make amazing. If you can have a restaurant that's built off of that, then you can, even if it's something simple, if you make it amazing, like you said, they're going to come back. And I think that's what it really comes down to.
Exactly.
It seems that you definitely pay attention to the whole, like a holistic view of the restaurant, not just the menu. You may have good food, but not a good execution in the atmosphere, or not good execution in delivering that good food to you, whether it's the experience or the, you know, the way that you interact with the staff and things like that. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, every touch point of a restaurant is important to leave impactful impression on the customer, right? So I definitely look at every touch point, and yeah, I also kind of take into consideration, you know, the cost. Like, when, you know, I think a majority of customers, they typically like to stick to the things and the restaurants and the cuisine that they like, or the dishes that they like. And it's kind of risky for them to change their behavior to try a different dish or a restaurant. So when you do try a different dish or a restaurant, and, you know, some places can be pretty pricey. You know, it's not like, you know, if you're going something outside of fast casual, where like the average ticket price is like $8 to maybe $15 now. You know, anything above that is risky to a lot of you know, customers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So basically, you know, it's important to really, you know, hit it out of the park, you know, and if you're not up to par with the food, you know, it's a disappointing experience.
True. You mentioned earlier about not just executing on trends. It seems like sometimes restaurant owners will just go towards the trend in the decor or the food, but miss the mark on the whole part of it. What are some of the mm-hmm. restaurant trends that you're noticing right now?
Well, now it's funny because I haven't been out too much lately with COVID. So I really can't tell you about the in-restaurant trends now. But I can tell you, you know, obviously ghost kitchens, and that's kind of why we kind of connected. Mm-hmm. Is just extremely hot right now. And basically the trends that I've seen in ghost kitchens is a massive amount of virtual brands. You know, there's some really hot trends. Wings are really hot right now. Hamburgers are really hot. Pizza. So, I mean, all these concepts are being done and duplicated and duplicated and copied again. So I just see you know, major saturation of just different brands and copycat brands on the market, and I see no end in sight.
Okay, so you touched upon a passion of mine, which is wings. And I lived in Buffalo for a while, and it's mm-hmm. one of those things where, you know, you could find good wings at the you know, the oddest places, the little corner spots. And mm-hmm. I pride myself on making good wings. But when it comes to wings, you got to keep it simple. And all these different, are you in line with some of these wing flavors? First of all, are you a wing fan? Let's establish that.
Yeah, listen, I'm a huge wings fan. And I had wing up in Buffalo, like, what's it, Duff's?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had some amazing wings up in Buffalo, so.
Okay. So what's your go-to wing flavor?
No, I just like to keep it simple, stupid, you know, medium Buffalo sauce.
Boom. There you go. I would even take it one further, and I go for either the wing sauce, the Buffalo sauce, or I like a dry rub Cajun.
And that's nice.
I'm actually mm-hmm. Doing a little wing off with my family in a couple of weeks.
Amazing. So,
but the thing is, it's virtual, right? So because we can't really get together. So there's not going to be any judging going on, but we're going to really just make our wings and comment on, obviously, the looks and things like that. Be as honest as we can with how our wings turned out. But I've decided on doing the Cajun just because I don't know. I've really gotten into the dry rub thing. Danny, are you an alternate wing flavor guy?
I am not. I'm very simple, kind of like our boy. I like a medium buffalo. I mean, I can even do the hot, but a solid medium buffalo. It lets you know where their wings play, like if they season them before, or if they do them fried, or if they bake them. This way, you can kind of, with that simple kind of sauce, it kind of really brings out the flavor and everything else as well.
I tell you what, totally. I like that idea of keeping it simple. I was in San Diego at this, I think it was called like a Top Gun bar, and they smoked their wings prior to frying them, and it turned out the texture changed.
I'm sure, yeah.
I think, and they were raving about the wings, and it was a miss for me.
Mm. Interesting. The people that you were with, or the restaurant itself?
The restaurant itself, the bartender, he told us, oh man, you got to get the wings, you got to get the wings. I was like, okay, I love wings. And you tasted the smoke flavor, but, you know, smoking the wings first and then frying them, it was just too much.
Mm. I hear what you mean.
Interesting.
Now, Brandon.
That is interesting.
I never even heard of that before, though.
Me neither.
Now, Cinderella's fairy godmother turned a pumpkin into a stagecoach. If you had a magic wand with which to build a restaurant, would you build it around the kitchen first, the front of the house, or maybe the bar?
I'd probably build it around front of the house. I mean, I know how important alcohol sales are, you know, for restaurants are. So, I would assume that front of the house would kind of take into account the bar scene, mm-hmm. you know?
True.
But I think, yeah, it's all about the experience, and experience is one of the most important things in the restaurant industry, which, now everybody going virtual kind of, they're missing and lacking. And I think that many people being at home are craving the experience. They're really, yeah. I think people can't wait to get back out. And they're craving that experience. And I think that experience is going to be key as we come out of COVID and start to, you know, see new restaurant concepts pop up all over the place.
Question, Brandon, where are you located right now?
So I'm actually in Miami.
Okay. So you're in our area.
Yeah, so I'm close.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, totally. We're keeping the distance.
I'm from New York originally.
Okay. The city or upstate or?
Long Island.
Gotcha.
Growing up and, you know, over the years, I've gotten to experience some great restaurants in New York City. And
absolutely, yeah.
There's something for everyone there, and you find some of the best versions of every dish in New York City.
I agree with you 150%. I am also a native New Yorker. I was born in the Bronx.
Nice.
And I grew up pretty much between there and Washington, D.C., like right outside of Washington, D.C. So they have a great culinary scene as well out there. So, you know, they have a good flavor and mixture of people as well, just like the city does. So you definitely have a good palate from what I understand.
Yeah. I think so. I'm definitely picky. That's for sure.
Would you say the experience is the missing key? Like, because honestly, the price of chicken is the price of chicken. The price of a sea bass, you can only charge so much for a sea bass. So then, the atmosphere and the experience seems to be the X factor of what a menu, you know, can command.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if you're serving a certain type of food, or if there's any food on your menu, you better have the best version of that dish mm-hmm. that you could possibly execute, right? And then part of that is also the experience, you know? Because I hate going out to restaurants that they have a great experience, but then you have the food and it's like, the food's not that great. And it's like, you know, like really like enjoying the food. Like, food is what people love. Like, the Food Network is one of the most, you know, popular channels on TV. These people, and even like most people that don't even cook watch the Food Network all the time because they just love food. It's just a passion for people. It like touches their hearts, right? So I think everybody just wants to make sure that they have great food. You know, the better the food, you know, obviously I think it really like kind of ties in with the experience.
I agree with that. Let's talk about ghost kitchens.
Sure.
Tell us a little about your thoughts on the trend as it sits now, because when we spoke, tell us about what your ideas were, because if for those of you out there that don't know, I got connected with Brandon through a friend. We had just published a podcast on ghost kitchens, and sure enough, he mentioned that you guest wrote on a blog. You did a little article on ghost kitchens. I read it, and I learned even more. And that's why I reached out to you, because I love learning. Through learning, I'm able to educate other people. So I will put a link to that article in my show notes for this episode as well. And through your eye for detail and everything, I didn't want to just make it about ghost kitchens, but here we are.
Absolutely. No, I think it's great. You know, it's funny, these ghost kitchens is something that I just have like an absolute like major passion for. About 7 years ago, I was, going to open up my own restaurant concept, and some things got in the way. But basically behind the concept was I wanted to create a ghost kitchen. That's before like anybody actually thought of even making ghost kitchens, or it really was not that popular at all. Maybe there was a concept in Canada or something, but I didn't know about that. But anyway, so, you know, I had this vision for the future of ghost kitchens, and it's something that always came back to me. It kept marinating, you know, in my brain, and I kept thinking about it. And then with the advent of like Uber Eats and DoorDash and Caviar and all these other like delivery platforms and last mile delivery platforms, you know, all these basically ideas that I were thinking about 7 years ago were starting to come to life, you know? So it's something that I've been, you know, paying attention to even more now. And I just have a major passion for it. So I kind of wrote this guest blog article about ghost kitchens, and it's titled "I Ain't Afraid of No Ghost." It's fun. And I think that the ghost kitchen industry that I envisioned like changed drastically once COVID hit. And I don't think that it would have changed this drastically. Without COVID. And I think COVID has like super accelerated the maturing of the industry. And I feel like the main thing that I'm taking away from, you know, ghost kitchens and virtual kitchens right now is kind of like the Amazonification of the industry, kind of like what's happening on Amazon. It's like a jungle, right? You have multiple brands. Everybody's piling onto the platform. There's so much competition. And, you know, I feel like brands are becoming less relevant every day, because there's so many new concepts coming on the market, and millennials are more accepting to new concepts. They're embracing of new concepts. So the current, you know, brands that, you know, are brick and mortar, like Chipotle, they're going to start losing business fairly quickly to new emerging brands, but to a certain point, because there might be a lot of brands, but there are so many people trying to do too many things at the same time. So what I feel is happening is that, you know, they're going to be throwing these brands out there and these new concepts. And there are some concepts that are starting that they're throwing 20, you know, different brands into one restaurant kitchen. And people know in the restaurant business, like, you have to keep things like focused, right?
Yeah,
you can't do too many things in a kitchen because you're going to start to lose quality and consistency of the product. And that's even the main reason why most people don't like to franchise their concepts, is because they don't know if they could actually guide every to to stay on track to maintain that quality and consistency that's expected of a brand, right? So I see a lot of that happening, and I feel like that's going to cause issues in the industry. So that's where reviews are going to really come in handy. Like, you know, on Amazon, everybody goes by reviews. I feel like that's really going to shift to the, you know, ghost kitchen virtual restaurant industry too. They're going to go off more reviews. Any, you know, concepts with negative reviews are going to fall down, right?
Yeah.
And then I feel like, you know, because anybody could get into and deliver products, it's going to start going into like more like smaller, like micro brands and different, you know, other kind of not accessories, but other products that could be added onto your order. So like, say you want to order from say Chipotle or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that, you could probably, you know, in the same order, add on like coffee from another ghost kitchen that's next by, or juice or dessert or pastries that you could add on. And, or perhaps you want to order a burrito, but your wife wants to order like pizza, right? I feel like there's going to be many of these small little like multi-unit, multi-concept facilities that you could purchase many different types of food on just one order.
I think that's that's important because I do use the delivery apps, but then together with my family, I have to decide what we all are going to be in the mood for, to go for it at that one point. And it'd be really innovative to be able to have a small network of different products. Like you said, if you're interested in, your wife's interested in pizza, but you want to have, I mean, just throwing it out there, Chinese, and there's a kitchen nearby, that would be advantageous.
Exactly. Yeah, it all has to do with logistics. And maybe as AI and machine learning starts to kind of come into these delivery platforms, it'll make it a little bit easier to kind of strategically make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is obviously going to be a major part of this. Consumer data is going to be extremely important part of this model. Like some of the most, you know, biggest companies getting such huge like funding rounds, it's all about consumer data, right? And how do you market to these people? So some of the things that I definitely envision is, just machine learning and AI based on people's, you know, daily schedules. And like, for example, they'll know who you are. They'll know that you eat every day at 7 o'clock, or, on Thursday nights, you might get home from work late and you order at 8, like, you know, mm-hmm. they'll start to learn your schedule, and then they'll know how to and when to like market towards you, you know, and that combined it with, maybe drone delivery, right? So, how do you get the food to these customers faster and more efficiently at a cheaper cost, right? So I think that drone delivery is going to be like absolutely massive for like ghost kitchens and virtual brands, right? Because then you could cut down the travel time of a delivery from like, 75%. So instead of it being 45 minutes, you could cut it down to maybe 15 minutes because there's no traffic. It takes out all of the inefficiencies of what, current Uber Eats and DoorDash, the human aspect and the, driving aspect,
Absolutely. So I have a question real quick before we get too far into everything else. So your concept, you're talking about your ghost kitchen 7 years ago, how would that play, you think, now if you had came out with it?
No, I think it could still play well, but it's all about, how do you stand out in the jungle of these virtual restaurants? And Absolutely. So one thing that I see that people, they do, I mean, they advertise online, but you really have to bring it back into traditional marketing methods. Like what would people used to do if they have like a takeout component of their restaurant? They would go around in their neighborhood,
door to door.
Start absolutely. To hand and hand out flyers. Mm-hmm. You throw the menus under the doors, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that I haven't really seen any of the, you know, ghost kitchen concepts really do, which I think is really an important step in promoting their product. It kind of like makes their concept more real and brings their concept into, you know, reality. That somebody could actually pick up a physical menu and be like,
mixing
wow.
the past with the future.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that makes perfect sense.
That's an interesting point. I never really thought about that. For me, it's always whenever I order things, I really gravitate to being able to see what the pictures are, what the menu is mm-hmm. effectively. If it's like just a list item on a menu, I'm less likely to order it or from there because I have no experience with this place. Mm-hmm. And let's say exactly. I do even make the leap to order from a new place, they don't really make the effort to really impress me once I made the order, meaning it would be interesting to get the order and then maybe like you said, a menu, a flyer, a note, maybe the packaging's a little bit different. Now I see that, mm-hmm. you know, existing places, they just still have the same packaging, or it depends on if I want to order fries, I won't get from certain places because they just put it in a styrofoam box and it gets sweaty and
soggy, yeah,
soggy and I don't want to get it. So, you know, if I found a place that wowed me with the quality that the food appears and the presentation in which it does, I would definitely buy again.
No, you're absolutely right. Packaging is all part of the experience. You know, the physical menu is all about the experience. It's what can you do in a virtual world to create all these touch points of experience. You know, customer service is obviously extremely important. I think that the delivery platforms need to start opening up more personalized experiences for each restaurant on their app. So, you know, within each app, give each restaurant a little bit more of an opportunity to brand their page a little bit better than what they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of, that would be a good start.
Now, you mentioned earlier, we talked about, you know, AI and metrics and things like that. Now, mm-hmm. when you partner with, let's say, Uber Eats, Delivery Dudes, what have you, DoorDash, they have the leg up on a lot of these metrics. They know what each individual customer orders across the board, how much they spend. Maybe they don't know yet what time they come home, but they know what time they do eat. And then you also see some of them starting their own ghost kitchen concepts. Or is it that they're just doing a kitchen concept that is it like more of a rental type of thing? Or is it a conflict or an opportunity that they're getting into their own kitchen spaces?
No, I think it's an amazing opportunity. So if you think of like Netflix, you know, Netflix in the beginning, they started with other people's content
mm-hmm.
and then eventually they started creating their own content. So that's kind of like what the industry should be going into. These delivery platforms should be creating their own content in terms of their own virtual brands or exclusive, contracts with other brands or maybe, you know, if it's not exclusive with certain brands, maybe they could come up with some exclusive items that you could only buy on that platform as opposed to another platform. Like, for example, McDonald's, you know, like a special flavor of fries from McDonald's only on the DoorDash platform that people could order. So it creates buzz and it creates traffic through DoorDash and, you know, those are the kinds of things that will have to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely see happening in the near term.
That's super interesting. How did you get into brand development and product development?
It's funny. it's just something I've always had. It's something I've always had a major passion for. My first internship was with a company called Lifetime Brands. I was actually there. I was their first intern, and it was my first internship. And it's a major consumer brands company with, they own Farberware name. They have licenses for KitchenAid. They work with Martha Stewart and the Food Network to create their own lines of kitchen tools and gadgets. And they make sinkware, tabletop, cutlery, barbecue. So basically, I worked there for a few years, and it's just something I've always had a passion about. So, you know, every place that I worked and I've been, I kind of took on the role. I took on many different roles, you know, packaging design, branding, product development. So I kind of understand all aspects of the process.
So you turned your passion into your career.
Exactly.
Well, I'll let you go on these last few questions. And because you did mention that you love to cook, what is your what is your go-to dish that your family loves?
Oh, man. It would probably have to be just like chicken parmesan.
Are you a breakfast person or a dinner person?
I'm definitely more of a dinner person. No, I skip breakfast a lot. So
that's interesting because I don't eat breakfast, but I love breakfast.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, about the time that I eat. I don't eat in the morning, and usually that first, you know, morning meal is called breakfast, and I just don't have it. I eat around, my first meal is around noon or 1 o'clock.
Yeah, same here, basically.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, Brandon Tendler.
Yeah.
Your time and
it was
insight.
Great being on with you guys.
Absolutely.
We're
gonna, I'm definitely gonna reach out to you again soon. And because I want to pick your brain about some of the things you talked about, which was packaging and branding and things like that. But that's for
totally,
you know, a different deal. And once again, if you do enjoy our show, pass it on to a friend. That is the way that you can support us at this time. And feel free to reach out to us. I'm on Instagram is @TheModernWaiterPodcast, or reach out to me by email, themodernwaiter@gmail.com. I'm Marlon Joseph, The Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVilla, and subscribe, people.
We'll see you next week on The Modern Waiter Podcast.
Later. Truly one of the best to smoke it chronic, bionic. I smoke so fast, they call me Sonic. So pass the gin and tonic, watch them chickens get freaky. Roll up, the bomb stinky, pimp life like I was Pinky. Y'all cats still can't see me, your vision still blind like Stevie. I'm Petey, without the crack, instead they call me Wheaties. I love the chocolate tie, purple to berry vine. I got so many flavors, they call me very fine.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.